right. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, you can find your place there this evening. It's 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we'll be there momentarily. Now, of course, last year, and I made mention of this in my text message that I sent out yesterday to our church family, that last year, of course, we went through about a 4 or 5, maybe 6 week series on the topic and the idea of how to study the Bible, with that series, toward the end, I gave several resources that and tools that I myself even use, different commentaries, different computer programs, things like that. And this week I read something that prompted the thought for tonight, and maybe you can sympathize with this, I don't know, find agreement with it, and that is, the idea of reading the Bible, and have you ever read the Bible, and then realized 5 minutes later that you could hardly remember what you just read, let alone understand what you just read? I think we've all been in that situation. We've all been in that scenario. You read something, and then you go to do something else, and then all of a sudden you start thinking about it, and you think, man, I don't remember what I just read, let alone I don't even understand it. And again, it happens to all of us, because we get busy, life gets busy, we get tired, we get distracted, and sometimes we treat the Bible, and we do it here. Every first of the year, we give out the weekly or the yearly Bible reading schedules, and those are great. You can take them, they're perforated. You can tear them in three. You can put one in the Old Testament, one in the Psalms and Proverbs, one in the New Testament, and you can use those to help you read through the Bible in a year. But what happens with that is oftentimes we then treat the Bible like all we're doing and all we're reading it for is to check that box off on that Bible reading schedule, so we can say at the end of the year, yep, I read my Bible this year, and I got through it. And we do that instead of using it as a time to meet with God. But the idea and the goal is not necessarily for us to get through the Bible. The goal is for the Bible to get through us. The goal is for the Bible to speak to us, because it is a living organism. It is the very words of the living God. It's living. Every time you open it, there is something new in there for us. And God's Word is not something that is meant to be rushed past or skimmed over or squeezed into the leftovers of our day. It is the it is living truth from a living God. And so when we slow down and pray and read carefully and obey what He shows us, that's when Bible study can become more than just information. It can become transformation. That's what we should want out of our Bible reading. That's what we should want out of our Bible study. And so, I want to get a little feedback here, but by asking just a very simple question: what is the one thing you would say you struggle with the most with your Bible reading? What is the one thing you would say you struggle with? Barry?
Problem for Baptists as well. Being the Bible that we use here,
mm-hmm.
the language is rough.
No way.
So, if you don't, I mean, we look to you, I look to you, to be an interpreter as well.
No way.
So, without that, and the language problem.
No way. Okay.
When I read the Bible, I read it like a book.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to check any boxes on it, but I didn't know how to read the Bible, so I read the Bible as if I were reading a book.
Okay, so kind of like a novel.
Kind of struggled through it with the language, with the B's and thou's and so forth, and made it through it, and while reading it, I definitely felt a feeling that
mm-hmm.
So it was a struggle, but it was well worth
it. Absolutely. And that's a good point. And something Barry said, and I want to kind of piggyback off that, because he said, well, we look to you, talking about the pastor. And that's all well and good, and I don't mind that. But here's the truth about the Bible, because I forget what passage it is. I think it's in the book of Acts, but there's a group in the Bible called the Bereans, and this goes back to when you study church history, because in churches such as the Catholic Church, they would have they would have one Bible for the entire church, and that one Bible would be kind of not tied, but chained to the altar. It would be chained to the pulpit. And so if you didn't have a Bible at home, you couldn't necessarily go. If you wanted to read it, you had to come into the church. You had to go up to the altar. You had to go up to the pulpit. You had to use it while it was there attached. You couldn't take it off and take it home. And so for a time there in church history, there was a teaching that the commoners, as it were, you're not worthy of the Bible. You're not worthy to read this book. That's basically what they were saying. And that you had to, rely on, the man of God. You had to rely on the priest, as it were. But here's the thing: the Bible talks about, all of us being Bereans that search these things, and to whether they be true. And so, you'd be very careful. If you ever get you ask a pastor a question or a missionary a question or an evangelist a question and they get defensive about it. And it's almost as like, oh, well, who are you to question? I'm up here speaking. Of course, it's true. But, we've learned and we've seen, throughout history, people like Joseph Smith and I believe that was who he was, who had all those people drink the Kool-Aid and killed them. We have things, groups that become these cults of personality. And so, one of the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. And when I prepare something, I'm preparing it in a very narrow, kind of box, a narrow scope, right? I'm looking at a particular passage this is what I think the church needs. This is what I think will help them and encourage them this week. Now, and we've had it here. You can be sitting there and listening. You may be getting what we're talking about and getting what the encouragement is or getting what the word is. But then you're sitting there, you're looking at your Bible, you're reading it, and you're thinking, what does this word mean? Or what does it mean just above that? Or what does it mean just above that? And so, you come to me and I say, well, sometimes I have the answer off the top of my head. And sometimes I say, well, I don't know. I have to go and look at that. But that's what that iron sharpens iron is all about. And so, well. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. And that Life Application Study Bible, we've had several folks here, you know, they've asked for Bible recommendations, and that's the one we recommend. You can order it online. We can go down like to God's Promises. I think Kenny has one. Walt has one. I have one. Ellen has one. Oh. Yeah. I think if I'm remembering right, of all the study Bibles, aside from the Scofield Bible, and the Scofield Bible is more theological in nature, and so it's different than the Life Application, but the Life Application is the best-selling study Bible that there's ever been. Well, like, are we talking about Life Application or just like different study Bibles? They all come in. No, Life Application comes in King James and one other that I can't remember that I've at least seen on the shelf. So at least one other. Scofield even comes in other ones. And so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They do. Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yep. Absolutely. And so that's what we want to see tonight, that, you know, we want the Bible to become more than information. We want it to become transformation. And so you're there, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, of course, this is part of what is known as the pastoral epistles. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's begin at verse number 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. The Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And so there's a couple things we want to see tonight about how to get more out of our Bible study time. How to get more out of our Bible study time. The first thing we can do to get more out of our Bible study time is to slow down. Is to slow down. And so if you and I want to get more out of the time we spend in God's Word, then we need to slow down. Because again, we often go through our Bible without letting the Bible go through us. Now we're going to turn to several passages tonight. So just do your best to keep up. But go over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and notice there, verse number 15. I rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. I'm sorry, verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and respect and have respect unto thy ways. The very first part of that, I will meditate in thy precepts. So here we have the reminder, the light bell, as it were. And it reminds us that Bible study is not meant to be rushed. The word meditate there means that we take the time to think on the verses we're reading. We take the time to think deeply. We take the time to dwell on God's truth, and we take the time to let His Word settle in our heart. But what happens many times, we read quickly because we're ready to get to the next place, or we have somewhere to be, but we don't really stop long enough to consider what God is saying. Now, listen, we may move our eyes across the page. And listen, we can do this with any book, right? We can move our eyes across the page, but our heart never really stops before the Lord. And if anything, we live in a day and age where we're not getting slower. We're getting faster. Life is getting faster and faster and faster. And so here's the application. Slow down enough to think, to pray, and respond. Don't just check Bible reading off your list. Let the Word, let the Bible search you and shape you and speak to your heart. That's the very first thing we have to do. We have to slow down. But then secondly, we have to pray before you speak, or pray before you read, rather. Pray before you read. In other words, ask God to speak. Before you even open the Bible, pray and say, okay, God, today I'm about to read your word. Speak to me through your word. And then, and here's the hard part, then be willing to listen to what he says to you, and then be willing to obey what he says to you. How many of us, you know, and again, this is something we can probably all, you know, take solace in, that we've all been guilty of it. How many of us, we've ever listened to somebody talk? Right? We've all done that. We've all listened to somebody talk. Now, how many of us, we're hearing them talk, but we're not really listening? Yeah, at times, right? We're hearing the words come out of their mouth, but we're zoned out. We've all been there. And then, you know, we're hearing them talk, and then maybe we get to the part where, okay, we're listening to them. But then if it's advice that maybe we don't necessarily want, do we always obey it? Well, no, then that becomes another part of the equation. You're there, Psalm 119. We looked at verse number 15. Notice verse number 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And so the psalmist here, the psalmist understood that he needed more than just physical eyesight to understand the scriptures. He needed a spiritual understanding. My pastor, he once had in Bible college, he had a professor who was blind. But that professor could turn around and using the, I guess, the whiteboard or the chalkboard, or in some way, he had scripture memorized. I mean, almost a photographic memory. Now, I have scripture memorized, but nothing on the level of what this guy had it. But he was blind, which means he couldn't physically open a Bible and read the words. He couldn't see the words. And some people, in order for them to understand, they need to see the words. But just seeing the words does not always equate or equal understanding. We need spiritual understanding. And the psalmist here says in verse number 18, that I may behold wondrous things. God's word, this Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, it contains some wondrous things. I mean, you just take the time to read it, and you'll see some wondrous things. In fact, let's stop there and pause and ask the question, as we think about the wondrous things, what is something you've read in the Bible that you just that you sit back and it kind of like it's an awe type of moment? You know, like maybe you remember going to Niagara Falls for the first time and you look at the falls, and I mean, that's an awe type of moment. That's a wondrous thing. That's one of the wonders of the world, Niagara Falls. But we have that in the Bible. So anyone want to share something you've read in the Bible that just kind of struck you and it was wonderful to you? Martha?
I always think of Philippians 4:13. Oh. All things through Christ to strengthen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Something as simple as that. All things. And sometimes, guess what? We don't feel like we can do all things. But through Christ, we can do it. Anybody else? There are wondrous things, but again, our heart has to be opened by the Lord. We need that spiritual understanding. If we're going to see them clearly, and not only see them clearly, but receive them properly. And so Bible study, for lack of a better phrasing, should begin with dependence. It should begin with dependence. We're not coming to the Bible merely to gather facts. Barry said it earlier. He would read the Bible like it was a book. And listen, it is a book, but it's more than a book, right? And so we need to be careful. We don't read it like a book. We don't read it just for gathering facts. We're coming to it. We're coming to hear from God. And so before you open your Bible, ask God to open your heart. Pray for understanding. Pray for conviction. Pray for correction. Pray for comfort. Pray for a willing spirit to then obey whatever it is He shows you. And then thirdly, don't rush for quantity. Don't rush for quantity. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Because one thing we need to understand tonight is that one well understood passage is better than chapters that are just skimmed through with a distracted heart. Psalm chapter 1. And notice we'll read verse 1 and 2. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so we see that the blessed man, and now later on in the scripture it talks about the ungodly man, but the blessed man does not merely just read God's word. He delights in it. He meditates in it. His goal is not simply to cover ground. His desire is to commune with God. And now listen, there's nothing wrong with reading several chapters of the Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. But the goal should never be, well, speed without substance. How many chapters can I get through today? You know, and there are challenges out there like that. We have schedules that help us get through the New Testament in 30 days. There's schedules that help us get through the Bible I think also 30 days in about a month's time, or in 6 months or 3 months, or where you can read it through in 4 months or 12 months or you know, there are schedules out there like that. But the goal is to realize that Bible reading, you know, is not a race. You know, sometimes when we're driving, you know, for some reason, Mandy thinks I speed or that I go fast when I'm driving. And one of the things she'll always tell me is we're driving or, you know, driving somewhere or driving home. You can slow down. It's not a race. Well, with the Bible, it's not a race. And we need to be sure to remember that the Bible is nourishment for our soul. That's what it is. It's nourishment for the soul. And then fourthly, we need to read the text carefully. We need to read the text carefully. Pay attention to the context. Because if you don't pay attention to the context, what you will do is you will use Scripture as a pretext to just fit your narrative. You will use it to use the Scriptures and use the Bible to just fit whatever it is you've already come up with in your head. And so we need to pay attention to the context. Let the Scripture interpret Scripture. Let the Bible define the Bible and not our opinions. Go back there, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, and notice again verse 15. The Bible says there, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so Paul here, and remember, in context, this was Paul, the older pastor, teaching Timothy, the younger pastor. And in our text that we read in chapter 3 there, in verse 14, that Paul said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And so Paul in chapter 2, that's what he's doing. He's teaching Timothy. And so Timothy, or Paul, he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul told Timothy here, that handling the Word of God requires study. It requires care. It requires accuracy. That word, or that phrase, rightly dividing, reminds us that Scripture must be handled properly. It must not be handled carelessly. That means, again, we are not free to make the Bible say whatever we want the Bible to say. We're not free to do that. Our job is to understand what God has actually said. So, again, here's how you can define things in the Bible. If you want to know what the Bible's talking about, you don't need, they're helpful, and I shared several with you last year. You don't need a commentary. You don't need a dictionary. You don't need a concordance. You don't need, you know, all of these extras, they're helpful and they have their place. But read the verses around the verse that you're reading. Notice who is speaking. Notice who's being spoken to. And notice what the passage is about. Don't build your belief on isolated phrases. That's what there's a couple different forms of preaching. One is called topical preaching, and one is called expository preaching. Expository preaching is where, and that's what we do here and what I do on Sunday mornings, I take a passage of Scripture and I preach verse by verse by verse. And that way, I'm letting the text speak for itself. I'm letting the Scripture define the Scripture. Let the Bible explain itself. For example, here, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And notice in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. So right there, you say, well, who wrote 2 Timothy chapter 1? Paul. It tells us that right there in verse number 1. Who's it written to? Verse 2. To Timothy. Why is he writing? Verse number 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. So Paul is having a desire. He wanted to be there with Timothy in person, but he could not be. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned or the fake or the unfake, it's real, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now, you go over to chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So, Paul says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. How did Paul know that? Chapter 1 and verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the real faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And so we see here, and then there's another scripture that talks about, I think we looked at it. It talks about the same commit thou to faithful men. So take what you have learned and then take it and teach other men, who then may teach others also. Where did Paul get that? 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 1:5, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, who was the mother of Eunice, who took the faith that she had and taught it to Eunice, the mother of Timothy, who Eunice then took and taught the faith to Timothy. And now Paul is teaching to Timothy, take what you have learned from your grandmother and your mother, and now go and teach others also. Let the Bible explain itself. Let the Bible define itself. Ellen? Yeah. Yep. All the things you want to go. Now, if by chance you have a Bible, like I do, this is my preaching Bible. This one has, you know, no notes. And so if you have a Bible like that where you don't have, you know, the study helps, you know, that are in the beginning, and most study Bibles will have those things. But if you're just using a regular, you know, Bible, like our pew Bibles, if you're just using a pew Bible on a Sunday, and, you know, you're sitting there, you're listening, you think, man, okay, well, who wrote this? You can flip back and say, oh, okay. And so even if you didn't have access to, you know, the study helps, you can still figure these things out. And so read the text carefully. Don't let the don't let it become a pretext to just make it say what you want it to say. Walt? Exactly. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. And then what you need to remember too is with the Bible, so, you know, we have it to where it's broken up in the chapters and it's broken up in the, you know, verses. When these things were originally written, the chapter divide, the visions, you know, chapter 1, chapter 2, the verses, all that stuff wasn't there. That was added later on to make it easier to read, easier to digest. Most of these, especially what we're looking at tonight here in Timothy, they were epistles, or they were letters. And so they were meant to be read as letters. And so Timothy would have read chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 as one. He would read it together. And so we need to remember that as well. So that's where it, you know, comes back to the point, slow down. You know, slow down when you're reading the scriptures. And then fifthly, and I believe finally tonight, yes, fifthly and finally, write it down and live it out. Write it down and live it out. In other words, so when you're reading your Bible and God shows you something, have a notebook with you. And write down things that He shows you. Again, this is a this is a new Bible. I just got about a month ago or so, and so I've not yet had a chance to write any notes in it. It's what they call a note taker's Bible, and so I'll go through when I'm preparing our sermons on Sundays, and I'll write my outline in the margins, and I'll highlight things, and I'll circle things, and that way also, because I've been there's been times I've been you know, at another church, or been invited somewhere to speak or something, and well, I didn't want to lug, you know, a whole binder full of sermon notes with me, or risk them getting lost or something. And so what I will do, I'll just take my Bible, and I'll have already had the outline. I'll have a few notes and a few things in there, and I will just preach or speak from that. Again, using the Bible to define itself. But write it down. Remember it. Obey it. Look, if you would, James chapter 1. Final portion of Scripture tonight. James chapter 1, couple books over from 2 Timothy, you have Hebrews and then James. James chapter 1. And then notice there, verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James warns here that hearing the word without obeying it can become self-deception. And that even means, you know, when we come to church, you know, when the preacher is preaching, whether it's the pastor or the a missionary or an evangelist, if, you know, you hear the word, but then you don't go and do the word, then the Bible says you're deceiving yourself. It's self-deception. And Bible study is not complete when we just understand the truth. Again, we're not looking just for information. We're not just looking for facts. It is complete when we then respond to the truth. So again, you know, God did not give us Scripture merely to inform us. He gave us Scripture. He gave us the Bible to transform us. And so when we sit under preaching, when we sit under teaching, and, you know, there should be a difference. We should, next month, we should be different than we are today. Next year, we should be different. When a verse convicts you, encourages you, corrects you, teaches you, write it down. And then, you know, we mentioned asking and talking to God. Well, ask God, well, what should change in my heart? What, my attitude, my words, my actions because of this truth. And here's where the world gets it wrong, because the world thinks the Bible exists to affirm them. The Bible does not exist to affirm us. That it goes back to the last point about not taking the Bible and using it to fit what you already wanted to say. The Bible does not exist to affirm us. It exists to transform us. You don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick. That means it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That means that God's word is alive. God's word is powerful. It does not merely sit on the page. It reaches into the heart. It exposes what is wrong. It reveals what is hidden and works where human words cannot. You know, there's been times I had to sit somebody down and talk with them and visit with them. I would try and come, you know, at it because I never want to hit somebody, you know, with Scripture necessarily right away, because it makes it seem like maybe you're beating up on them or whatever the case may be. When words fail and they're not listening, then you have to say, okay, listen, I understand this is the way you want to do it, but here's what the Bible says. And then that settles all debate, because if what you're saying and what you're doing and what I'm saying and what I'm doing, if it doesn't line up with the Bible, then we're at an impasse. And the Bible should win every time. And so, again, it exposes what is wrong. It reveals what is hidden. And it works where human words cannot. And sometimes the Bible, when we read it, it confronts us. Sometimes when we read the Bible, it corrects us. Sometimes it strengthens us. Sometimes it cuts us. But every time God's word works in us, it is for our good and His glory. And so when you come to your Bible reading, don't just come to your Bible reading only looking for comfort or looking for confirmation. Come ready for God to correct you, to cleanse you, to strengthen you, and to change you. And then the comfort and the confirmation and, you know, anything else you need, that will come too, because there is comfort in God's word. There is confirmation in God's word of God's calling in your life and God's will in your life and what God wants for your life. That is there too. But don't just come looking for it to necessarily confirm what you've already decided. Bible study is not about how fast you read. It's not about how much you know or how many chapters you can finish in one setting or in one sitting. It is about meeting with God in His Word and then letting that Word shape your heart. And so when you come to your Bible and you have your time in your Bible, slow down. Listen, if you know you have somewhere to be in an hour, you know, don't, instead of, you know, opening the Bible and saying, okay, I'm going to try and cram this in, wait until you have a little bit of time to come back to it. Slow down. Pray first. Read carefully. Think deeply. Write down what God shows you. Then live it out. And then above all, Number six and finally, stay faithful. Stay faithful. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. In other words, it will not return empty. God promises that his word will accomplish what he sends it to do. And so, even when you don't feel like you're getting much out of your Bible reading, the Bible says the Bible is still working. It may be planting, it may be watering, it may be correcting, it may be strengthening, it may be preparing you for something good. We just don't know yet. But we can know this. The Word always does its work, whatever that work is. All we have to do is open the Bible and get into the Bible and let it get through us. Then before we close in prayer, here's the challenge this week. When you open your Bible, don't just read your Bible to say that you read it. Read it with purpose. And before you open the Scriptures, pause and pray, Lord, like the psalmist said, open thou mine eyes. Then choose a passage, whatever that passage is. It doesn't have to be anything special. But slow down, pay attention, write down one truth from it. And then ask yourself, what does God want me to do with this? One verse, understood and obeyed, is better than many chapters rushed and forgotten. So open your Bible, open your heart, and let the Word do its work. Do we have a volunteer to close in prayer tonight?